Amen. It is a blessing to be with you tonight. I appreciate the opportunity of coming and sharing with you this evening. When I talked with your pastor, and he said, you know, I'd like for you to come and talk about this. When can you come? I said, well, how about this Sunday or 3 months from now or something like that? And so it is, and I believe the providence of God, that I had a Sunday night open so close to the time that you'll be taking a special offering for us, and I appreciate that. Listen, I just, if nothing else, I want to say thank you for your partnership with us in World Missions Ministry. Your support, the offerings that you've sent, co-hosting the World Missions Seminar and the International Missionary Retreat with us, has been such a blessing. We appreciate you and your partnership with us. For 20 years now, I know I don't look this old, but for 20 years now, we have been ministering to missionaries. For those who don't know, we pioneered the work in Kenya, East Africa, near about 100 years ago, it seems. We were the first missionaries on the field in Kenya. We were the only missionaries on the field for the first 5 years until Ernie and Sissy Hopper joined us. Later on, others came. But in 96, we left that field to expand our ministry to include all the world. I mean, in Kenya, we were training pastors, Kenyan pastors. And so we left that field to begin to train missionaries who would train national pastors. Instead of planting churches and training pastors, we're training the church planters, training the missionaries, and we have done that for literally 20 years. Now, one of the things, though, that people might not understand is that that's not just classroom work. Now, we do classroom work. We have the World Missions Seminar every year for 2 weeks. We partner with Brother Joe Morrell and the Missionary Training Ministry. And in fact, that partnership is getting closer all the time. We're becoming more involved with each other in this missionary training ministry and World Missions Seminar. But it's not just the classroom. Our training of missionaries from the very beginning has been a mentoring process. When a new missionary, in fact, we usually meet the missionaries while they're still pastors or students, and they come and say, I think God is calling us to be missionaries. We've had meetings like that just in the past few weeks. And once those missionaries begin the process of announcing their call, we meet with them on a regular basis to walk them through the preparation process, through deputation, through the transition to the field. So it's not just classroom, it's mentoring. We've had the opportunity of serving as mentors for missionaries that have now been on the field longer than we were in Kenya. That's a little shocking. But we've been at it that long. But something that God's been doing, that's what I came here tonight to talk with you about, is that these young church planters that we've got scattered across the United States now, and that's something that's really exciting, that we have church planting teams. We have church planters scattered across the United States. And, you know, from my point of view, they're young. Maybe you don't think so, but from my point of view, they're young. And they're doing a good job, and it's exciting. But they have come to World Mission Seminar for training. They've come to MTM for training, and they find out about our mentoring, and they have come to us and ask us to take them through, walk them through this mentoring process. And we've done that in an organized way, and still they come and say, no, we need to continue meeting every week. And you know, it's really not surprising to us that we have an affinity for them. But what's amazing is that they have such an affinity for us, even though we're an older couple. I'm older. Brenda is somewhat behind me. I married her when she was 4 or 5 years old. And we've been married for 46 years. But, You know, it's fun. It's exciting that these young couples come to us and want us to do life with them. And it's not so much how to. Now, they ask advice. Brother Roach, I tell them when they ask me advice, all you get is advice. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You have to make the decisions. But they ask us for advice. But you know the main thing, Michael, that we do with them is walk them through their spiritual growth. Making sure they know how to walk with Jesus every day. Making sure that they know how to walk by faith and not by sight. But that's been a really exciting process. But one of the things that they keep saying, and I mentioned it started with your missionary. Ben said to me when he was going through the materials that we were using to do the mentoring, he said, I wish you could just come here and stay on our field with us. Just walk the field with us for a while. I could use the encouragement. I could use the counsel. I just need you here with me for a while. Well, I didn't offer him much hope. But something that has come from that, all of these young guys are saying that, and their wives. I made a mistake with Ben. I did not know at the time how powerful it is to walk through that mentoring process with the husband and the wife sitting down together. Now, we're doing this for the most part by Skype and by FaceTime. But we have switched, and I sit down with the husband and the wife together, and we go through the mentoring process, the materials that we use. And you know, we've found that it strengthens their marriage because now they have to talk with each other about the questions that they're answering in the process. And they have to discuss the principles. It's been powerful. And again, they continually say, we wish you could just come walk our field with us. And I don't know if that's where this began, but somewhere along the way, you know, we were talking, okay, I'm 65 years old. And very realistically, with the pace that we've kept of international travel, I have thought that probably after about 4 or 5 years, we're going to have to begin to slow down a little bit. And we thought, when that happens, what if we bought a travel trailer and we go park with these couples? And just because, like on the field in Austin, Texas, we've got 3 families there. In Indianapolis, we've got 2 families now, another family coming. I'm not supposed to announce that yet. Anyway, in Madison, Wisconsin, we've got 3 families. In Denver, Colorado, we've got 3 families. So it's not just going and visiting with 1 family. We're going to be ministering to an entire team. And so we're thinking 4 or 5 years down the road. Well, back in August, September, I sat down with my pastor and we were talking about the future of our ministry. And I told him about this. And basically he said, you need to be doing that right now. The time is now. Not to slow down, but to start ministering to these church planters. I said something to my mother-in-law, and I guess she thinks I'm getting old or something. She said, well, you better not wait too long. I think she meant, you better start doing this while you still can. And I don't know. I told your pastor when I talked with him about this about a week or 10 days ago that it just seems like the Lord will not let us alone about this. And it's looking like now. Now, not that we're going to stop doing what we've been doing. I was talking with Joe earlier. He said, well, what about your international work? Still going to happen. World Missions Seminar, International Missionary Retreat, World Missions Focus at the ABA. We'll still do those 3 big meetings. We will still do our visits with the missionaries on the foreign field, but it will be weeks at a time, like we just did in Romania in December, like we're going to do in Australia in July. It will be weeks at a time and not months at a time. Some of you know that we spent two months on the island of Vanuatu, taking David Bennett's place years ago. We've done that in Australia nine or ten different times. We've been there for two or three months serving as interim. Spent 6 months in Russia. That's what we're taking out of our ministry. We can't add anything else without taking something out. So we're taking out the long stays, but we will still continue to mentor and minister to foreign cross-cultural missionaries. But it will be for weeks instead of months. And in addition to that, the idea is to go to those fields here in the States where we have groups of church planters and spend at least a month, maybe two, with them and then go to another. Well, again, the Lord just seems to be pushing this forward with us. It's been a calling and a burden that we could not escape. And I was sitting down with Jill Morrell the other day in Mountain View. I don't think I said who it was in the video, but I was sitting down with Jill Morrell. We were talking about plans for the future with World Mission Seminar and MTM Missionary Training Ministry and working on classes and schedules. But before we left, I said, Jill, man, I've got a burden on my heart. I can't help it. I got to share it with you. For you to pray with us about this. And I told him everything I just told you. And he said, travel trailer. What would that cost? I don't know. He said, well, go find out. And when you do, let me know. Now, Coraline, from Joe, that means, and we would like to help you with that. And the thing is, we began to realize somewhere along the way, well, we don't need to go out and personally buy a travel trailer because we don't need a travel trailer. We've got a house to live in. The travel trailer is purely ministry. That's the only reason we need it. Therefore, we need to raise the funds for the travel trailer. Now, the downside of that is I have to come up with a pickup to pull it with, but nevertheless, I did what Joe said. We started looking around at RV dealerships, and I got a little bit of sticker shock. But I also learned some things. I learned, a very wise guy said to me, do not buy an older trailer because it won't hold up for you to pull it around the country the way you're talking about. And besides, Brenda and I, when we started looking at older trailers, we realized we're not just going to go to the lake and stay for the weekend. We're going to spend months at a time in this. It's got to be good enough to live in, not full time, but long time. Somebody also said, do not buy a stick-built trailer. Anybody know what a stick-built trailer is? It's a wood frame trailer. He said, with the way you're talking about pulling that across the country and back again, and I told him, I got to have something that'll last me for 10 years. And he said, if you buy a wood frame trailer, he said, the wood will split and the staples will pull after 5 years. It'll start to slowly fall apart on you. He said, you need to buy a welded aluminum frame trailer with fiberglass sides, and you need a trailer that's insulated underbelly, because somewhere along the way, you're going to end up staying somewhere in cold weather. I ended up in Dardanelle, Arkansas, with a broker. You may not know this, but there is a broker here who sells more trailers than all the RV dealers in the area combined. This guy turns around 200 trailers a year. He buys and sells trailers. I found there this trailer. This is a 2016 travel trailer. It is bumper to bumper. It's 33 feet. That means, Michael, I think it's 28 and a half feet living space. But with the hitch and the back bumper and everything, it's 33 feet long. It's an ultralight. It is a welded aluminum frame. It is fiberglass sides. It is insulated underneath. That trailer sold just over 1 year ago for $38,000 at a dealer in Alma. The lady bought it to build her house. You know, she sold her house. She's going to build a new one. She had the trailer delivered. She didn't pull it. She had it delivered to her property. She thought she'd live in the trailer while she built the house. After 4 nights, the trailer was for sale. She discovered she was claustrophobic. She couldn't sleep in the trailer. She laid awake all night with the walls closing in on her. She tried to sell the trailer and could not, and sold it to this broker. We looked at the trailer. He gave us a price on it. We went home, prayed about it, sought counsel and advice. And here's the thing. We were not ready to buy a trailer, we didn't think. It's just like everything that else that's happened. Doug, the Lord is just one thing after another after another. I mean, even like that meeting with Joe, it was just one confirmation after another that this is God's will for us. We prayed about this. I talked with my friend Darby. I talked with Joe. I talked with, you know, looking for advice. I went to my missions treasurer. I don't know if anybody here besides Doug knows my missions treasurer, Jeff Foster. And I asked him, I asked Brenda, I asked my pastor, I asked all these guys that I'm asking advice of, what is the greater step of faith? To raise the funds and believe that God will give us this kind of deal again, or to step out in faith, trusting God, buy the trailer, and then trust God to provide the funds. Jeff Foster said, Brenda likes it. That settles it. Buy the trailer. The chances of you finding another one that she will like she does this one, are small. And he said, the price they're asking is nothing for God. God can do that. And he said, and the trailer is nothing but a tool anyway. What's important is this ministry of mentoring these young church planters. They need you. He said, go buy the trailer. So Tuesday of last week, we put a down payment on the trailer. Tuesday of this week, we paid for the trailer. We got the trailer. Remember, it sold for $38,000 a year ago? We bought the trailer for $22,000. A one-year-old trailer that's nearly new. There's only one. Amen. The trouble is, Kelly, now I got to raise $22,000. I have to put the money back. I don't want to talk too much about how we borrowed the money, but let's just say I've got to put the money back by the end of this year. I've got to have some funds, significant funds, raised quickly. But we have to pay the entire $22,000 by the end of 2017. It is for that reason that I called your pastor. Because the last time we had talked, he said, is there anything else you need? That's a terrible thing to ask a missionary. And I said, no. And that's a terrible thing for a missionary to say to a pastor who says, is there anything else you need? I said, not right now. Little did I know. And so I felt free to call him back and say, would you partner with us? We need 22 churches that will give $1,000 or more. We need some more than $1,000 offerings pretty quickly. And then we need those $1,000 offerings to come in later down the road. We're asking you, at the very least, to pray for us. Because this ministry, this addition to our ministry, please, we're not leaving our old ministry. This is an added ministry. It's exciting and a little bit scary. But we would ask you to pray for the provision of those funds to pay for this trailer. And then I need you to pray for us that God will lead us to a pickup. The trailer belongs to the ministry, not to us. But the pickup that pulls it is going to have to be our bailiwick. Jeff, actually, my missions treasurer, wanted me to try to raise funds for both, and I told him I won't do that, because if the truck belongs to the ministry, every time Brenda drives it to the grocery store, I have to reimburse the ministry for mileage, and I don't want to get into that. Some of you understand how that works with business, and I just do not want to get into that. And so, yeah, this thing has no engine, and I can't pull it with my Subaru Outback, so we've got to come up with a truck to pull it. So that's our prayer request. Pray for the ministry, number one. First and foremost, pray for the ministry. Pray for us as we do that ministry. I appreciate that you've already decided to take an offering next Sunday. And I pray the Lord just pours His grace on you and that you are able to help us in a big way with the need of the trailer. Do you have questions? I promise to change, although I don't see a clock on the wall. Doug, you're smart. You're not a clock. I can't see that far. Oh, okay. I promise to shorten my sermon according to how many questions you ask. So, questions, anyone? I do not, because nobody knows. Stateside church planters, nobody knows. Because there are stateside church planters who are endorsed by the American Baptist Association. There are stateside church planters that are endorsed by local associations and state associations. And then there are stateside church planters that are bivocational, and their ministry is not publicized at all. Only the Lord knows how many stateside church planters we have. We are primarily involved, though, with those families that I mentioned in Austin, Texas, in three different guys in Missouri, the Indianapolis, Indiana, the Circle City church planting, Madison, Wisconsin, Denver, Colorado, the Surround the Sound guys in Seattle. Scares me, but I'll probably end up pulling the trailer there at some point. That's not even all of them. Mark Thornton in Georgia. And so those are the guys that we are working with right now. Brenda always wants me to emphasize, we're not stopping our regular ministry. This is an addition. All we're doing is swapping the long stays overseas, and we will be staying longer term with these church planters in the United States. So, by all means, please understand that. Questions? Yes, brother.
Is that a bumper pull or is that a fifth wheel?
It is a bumper pull, and I did that on purpose. When we came back from Kenya in 96, we had a fifth wheel, almost the same, a little smaller, a 26.5-foot fifth wheel. And I didn't like the fifth wheel because you lose the truck. You can't put anything in the truck except a low-profile toolbox with a fifth wheel. And ever since then, I said if I ever did it again, I want a bumper pull. And so that is a bumper pull. It does have a single slide. It's got some bells and whistles I never would have paid for, but thankfully I don't have to. It's got electric jacks on it all around. It's got electric awning, the slide, and you can. It's got an Android, Michael, iPad that's on the wall, or you can pull it out and walk around and roll out the slide and put down the pegs and everything from Wi-Fi. Isn't that amazing? Now, I never would have paid for that. There's also two TVs. The lady was going to live in it. She lived in it 4 days, but she's already installed TVs in the thing that did not come with the trailer. So we get some bonuses in this deal, stuff we would not... Okay, should I tell them about the outside kitchen? It's got an outside kitchen on it. I never would have done that, but it doesn't cost me any extra. It's there. So, you know, yeah, it doesn't have the... We looked at one that had a fireplace in it. It doesn't have a fireplace. Anybody else with a question? Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I need to tell you a story. My goodness, what, Thursday morning? Thursday morning of this week, anybody here wake up early? As I get older, Brother Roach, the earlier I wake up. 3 o'clock's early enough. So far, we're making it at least till 4. But we woke up at 4 a.m. We try to sleep in till 5 or 5:30. Some of you don't think that's sleeping in, but you'll get there. You'll get old one day. We woke up at 4. We're in the living room with our coffee. Can't read your Bible without drinking coffee, can you?
Amen.
So we're in the living room with our coffee. And I'm doing my reading through the Bible and praying, and Brenda's sitting over there. So I look up somewhere along the way, and she says, "I'm sorry, but I just got to interrupt you. I've got to talk." Okay, it's fine. I'm at a breaking point. Talk. And she said, "Well, I've just been reading 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. I said, "Wait a minute. I just got through reading 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And she said, "Really? Well, this is what God has said to me." And she started talking about how God had convicted her and what those verses said to her. And I said, "Well, wait a minute. That's exactly what God's been preaching to me since 4 a.m. this morning." And I said, "And this is the commitment that I've made in response to those verses." She said, "Well, that's what I said. That's what I've told God." God spoke to our hearts from exactly the same passage, exactly the same message, and brought us to exactly the same commitment without either of us saying anything to each other. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
You know, I said to her when I got in the car to leave later that morning to go to the office, I said, "I love walking by faith through life with you." And isn't it special to have a wife who is so attuned to God that He can preach to her that same message at the same time as He's preaching it to you? Man, what a blessing. And I cannot help, David, I can't help it. That's the sermon I've got to preach to you tonight. Because, and it's not that, and when I'm going through this and telling you what God said to us, some of you are going to think, "Well, that's very simple." It is. But it's very deep. And some things that are very simple are really hard to put into practice. You know? And some of you are going to think, "Well, he's setting himself up as an example of something big or something special." And I am not. I'm just telling you that I needed this sermon. And my way of preaching, for the most part, is just share with you what God preached to me. I figure if I needed it, probably somebody else here does too, you know? And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I have, of late, I read through the Bible some. And I try to read through different translations because it helps me see things in the Scripture that I don't otherwise see. And there is a new translation. I don't know if you know about it or not. It uses the Textus Receptus as its base. It uses the same Greek, Hebrew and Greek manuscripts from which the King James Version was translated. But it's modern English. It's called the Modern English Version, the MEV. Listen to the same verse in the MEV. As everyone has received a gift, even so serve one another with it, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone serves, let him serve with the strength that God supplies, so that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Just a little easier to understand. Brings out a little more clearly some of the points, at least for me. But what is the point? What was that sermon that God preached to Brenda and then to me? And I'll give it in my words and not hers. Coraline, I try to tell her to stay out of my preaching, you know. But number one, for those of you who take notes, God made it very clear to us and reminded us that everything we have comes from God. Amen. Everything. It says, as everyone has received a gift. Everyone has a gift of some sort. God has graced us with abilities, with talents, with something that He can use to glorify Him and to serve in His church. There's no one here without some ability, and that ability is a God gift. It is something you have received from God. As we have received, then, our gifts, our abilities. Doug, our ministry is a gift from God. You know, that's one of the things that keeps us going. I spend a significant part of my time counseling both with missionaries and with pastors to keep them going. I'm going to Russia in a week to speak to teachers in a Christian school, and they've asked me to speak on resilience in ministry. My number one point is, we have received this ministry from God. Michael, it's a gift. The ministry is a gift. Sunday school teacher, that ministry of teaching your Sunday school class is a gift from God. Everything we have comes from the hand of God. Our possessions, everything we own, has come to us from the hand of God. I got to tell you, the Lord's been good to us. We have been married for 46 years. Now, the truth is, I've been married to three or four different women during that time. But that's all right. She's truly been married to three or four different men during that time. If you've been married as much as 10 years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We don't stay the same, do we? But man, what an adventure it's been. And I love that lady more today than I ever have any day of my life. God's been good to us. He's given us a good marriage. He's given us what we needed when we needed it. I'll not say that there haven't been times of challenge, but Michael would say I'm cheap. Brenda's a little nicer and says I'm frugal. And God's been good. I learned the lesson a long time ago. You cannot outgive God. We learned to tithe, and we've been faithful in giving to God. We learn to give by faith promise above our tithe, trusting God to provide an offering through us for missions that He would not give to us. And so we've been generous in our giving, and you cannot outgive God. We have a car, my faith promise car, that we paid cash for. Because you can't outgive God. Our house is paid for. Praise God. Because you can't outgive God. We've had savings. We've had emergency fund. You know, what's that guy on the radio that everybody listens to? We started doing that before he got on the radio. We were working on becoming debt free back before Larry Burkett. I am telling my age now. God's been good to us. But how shall we look at that stuff? It's mine. And I'm going to hang on to it. See, there's an issue. We're raising the funds for that trailer. And I believe with all my heart God's going to do that. I believe that He is going to provide the $22,000 that we need for that trailer. But I had a wake-up call when I realized my old 2002 Silverado 1500 was too old and decrepit to pull that thing, and I was going to have to buy a truck. I taught my kids that credit, that debt, is of the devil. That served them pretty well. We got a problem now. In order to buy a truck to pull that trailer, we've emptied out our savings. We've cashed in our emergency fund. And we're going to have to use everything we've got and borrow money to buy a pickup to pull that trailer. I'm not saying that for you to feel sorry for us, but you've got to understand where we have been and what we're looking at to understand our journey of faith. It's hard when you've worked as hard as we have to build up that financial stability to once again step out in faith and put it all on the line. So 4:00 in the morning, what God is doing in our heart, He's asking us, am I going to have to pry this stuff out of your hands? Are you willing to let it go, give it up, and put everything on the line in order for this ministry to happen? What am I going to say? No, I've given my tithe. Lord, that's all you can have. Lord, I've given my faith promise. That's enough. The rest of this is mine. It's mine. Maybe you never need this reminder, but I did. At 4:00 in the morning, God said, everything you have has come to you by my hands. Everything. Are we willing to admit that everything we have... I'm sorry. I'm not one of those preachers who says, now don't take this personally, okay? I want you to think about this as if you were the... You know, it's one of those Arkansas snow nights and you're the only one that showed up and the preacher gave you the whole load. I want you to take it as if you were the only one sitting here listening to this. Are you willing to admit that everything you possess came from the very hand of God? And are you willing to turn it loose to Him for Him to use however He sees fit? It's what Jeff said. $22,000 is nothing for God. And the trailer, that trailer is just a tool. What's important is the ministry. Now, you can sit there and nod your head and say amen when it's my ministry and my money. I'm asking you, what about you? Are you willing to admit that God has given you that ability that you're using on your job and you're using it other places? Are you using it for God? Are you serving God with it here? Are you serving God with it there in your job? Everything you have came from God. And He says in that verse, use it for Him. Use it for Him. God did not have to pry our stuff from our hands. It's not easy. But my pickup is for sale. This is the hardest part. My motorcycle is for sale. Will I give it up? Absolutely. Absolutely. For the ministry. Because everything we have has come from Him. Number two. Everything God has given us is to be used to serve Him. Why do you think God has given you the ability? Why do you think He's given you the wealth? God has, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, all the silver and all the gold. It's all His. He just happens to have put it in your pocket. Why? Why did He give you the land that you have, the house that you have, the car that you drive, the pickup that you drive? Why has He given you all these things? Because He has put His wealth under your care for you to use it for His glory. Lottie Moon, that Southern Baptist missionary lady from China, how many hundred years ago? 200 years ago now. 150 or so, wrote a letter home one time and said, "Where is the silver and the gold that belongs in the Lord's treasuries?" She said, God's people are adding more houses and more lands to their already great possessions. And so here in China, these heathen souls go down to death never having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the day of judgment, at whose feet will lay this charge? Listen, He did not give us what we have just so we can be satisfied, peaceful, and happy. Now, yeah, it would have been easy at 4 o'clock on Thursday morning, Kelly, to say to God, "Look, I'm comfortable. Don't violate my comfort zone." I paid the price. I've had malaria, bacterial dysentery, amoebic dysentery. I've been dog bit and flea bit and rat bit. I've paid the price already. Isn't it enough? Savior stretches out His arms and says, "Do you see these scars? What do you think is enough for the Savior who died for you?" And I cannot tell you the enormity of the step that we took this past Thursday morning of one more time in our life setting sail on the winds of faith. It's all His. And it was meant to be used for Him, not for me. It was meant to be used for Him. We're supposed to serve Him with it. And we serve Him by serving each other. Isn't that what it says? The same minister, the same, that is, use that gift to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have been graced. We're supposed to grace others. Everything we have, we minister to each other, the people around us, with what God has given us. If you speak, I've always wondered, what does that mean? He who speaks as the oracle of God. One translation, see if I can find that. That means when you speak, speak with God's voice. In other words, you say to somebody, listen, this is what God wants to say to you. And you speak in the place of God. That's what it means to be an oracle of God. Because you are the only God some people will see. You're the only Jesus some people will ever meet. You may be the only Christian that some people will ever meet. So when you speak for God. And you speak what God would say if He were standing there before them. When you serve, you do for them what Jesus would do if He was there. Because for that little bit of time, you are God incarnate. You're the only representative at that moment that Christ has to minister to them. And you use what you've got. You use what you've been given to serve Him. That's the sermon God preached to me. You do that by His grace. That's what the verse says. I'll give you the grace. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. Michael, I read that in NLT, if I can find it in my notes. NLT says, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. That's convicting to me. I don't know about to you, but that's convicting to me. Are we doing all that we can? Are we using all of the strength that God gives us? Are we holding back some for ourselves? Again, on that last Thursday morning at 4 or 5 a.m., it would have been easy to say, no, Lord, I need to reserve a little. God said, put it all on the line. All of it. I heard a preacher talking one time about going to Germany to visit a young friend of his there. And the parents were not there. And both of them were college students at the time. He said he went into the house and the German student said to him, now you make yourself at home. You be at home, everything here. You know, my house is your house, everything here is yours, and you just make yourself right at home. And he looked around, since his parents were not there, he looked around and says, but don't touch nothing. I think sometimes we say that to God. Lord, I'm yours. I surrender to you. And God points out something in our life, and we say, no, don't touch that, Lord. Don't touch that. Listen to me. It's all His. All of it. And He wants us to use it up for Him. We need to be like Paul who said, I am ready to spend and be spent for you. What about you? Are you ready to spend and to be spent to the glory of God? Because that is point number three. Everything we do is to be done for His glory. Brenda got a message from a friend after we sent out an account of our Thursday morning together and what God had said to us. Just some personal messages. She got one back from a friend in a foreign country, missionary wife. She said, I wanted to write and tell you, that is Brenda, how excited I am about your next step in ministry. We serve such an amazing God. The plans He has for you and Lynn so perfectly match your passions and gifts. I just want you to know I'm praying for you both, but a little more for you. And let you know that I much appreciate your authenticity, something that is rare and often not modeled. I know that it is what draws the younger families in ministry to you and Lynn. I feel God pressing me. To tell you to fly. Soar with confidence, my friend. He's got this. And more importantly, He's got you. I don't want to walk. I want to fly. I sure don't want to crawl. I want to fly by faith. Setting sail on the winds of faith. Trusting God. And doing it for His glory. That's the last part of the verse. Everything we do is to be done for His glory. My greatest fear in preaching this sermon to you tonight that God preached to me on Thursday is that you would think that I'm trying to manipulate you or trying to make myself something that I am not. I'm being as real with you as I know how to be. I needed this sermon. 43 years in ministry and I needed this sermon. It's not about me. And my friend, it's not about you. It's all about Him. It's not for my glory. It is for His. We were put here on this earth to glorify Him. And we must never steal God's glory. It's all His. It's His grace. It's His power. It's His work. It's His glory, not mine. What was it Jeff said? $22,000 is nothing for God. And the trailer is just a tool. Don't forget that. When you take up that offering next Sunday, we need your help. But $22,000 is nothing for God. And it's not about the trailer. That's just a tool. It's all about the ministry. More than that, it's all about glorifying God. Doing the work for His glory. I can't do this. I can't come up with a pickup to pull that trailer. God's going to have to. But He can do that. He's got this. I can't afford a $22,000 trailer that I don't need except for the ministry. But it's a tool for the ministry. God wants us to do it, and He's got this. I can't do it, but He can. But I wonder, as we take this one more step of faith, just one more. And I realized when I wrote it that way, it sounds like this will be the last one. And I know God better than that. Because after the just one more, there's just one more and just one more. I told Brenda I love walking by faith through life with her. What about you? Are you walking by faith? Are you walking by sight? Do you recognize that everything you have comes from God? And have you been willing to put it all on the line for Him and for His glory? I dare you tonight. No, I challenge you. No, I dare you. At the close of this service, when you get home tonight, sometime before you close your eyes tonight, I dare you to ask God, what great step of faith would you like for me to take? What are you really asking me to do? And when He tells you, when He puts that burden on your heart, do what He asks you to do. Father, I thank You for this great congregation, for the many friends that we have in this crowd. Lord, for Doug, for his ministry here, for Michael, for all the staff, Kelly, all the guys. Lord, I thank You for what You're doing in this church. Lord, for the glory that You receive because of their work. But Lord, there must be many in the membership of the church who've not totally sold out to You. Not all the members are tithing. Not all the members are trusting You. Not all the members are serving You. And there's someone under the sound of my voice tonight that You've spoken to and said, step out, put it all on the line. And I pray that they will. Lord, I thank You for the message that You preached to us. Lord, that You preached it to us separately so I didn't have to listen to my wife preach me this sermon. It came from You. Lord, I thank You for a wife whose heart is so tender and who walks so close to You that she heard this message so clearly. And I pray for those tonight who need to hear the message. Glorify Yourself in what You do in this place, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.